How many remember last Sunday what the Lord spoke to us? He said that our favor, or that his favor was surrounding us, right? Still believe that?
Yes.
Still been thinking about that all week? Things like that I don't forget. Earlier in the year, Kathy and I went to the ministers' conference down in Texas back in January, and one of the speakers there, it was Billy Brim, that she said Oral Roberts knew how to tap the power and God's people just lap it or they just run around it. And that bothered me for 9 months, 8 months. And I kept asking the Lord and praying about it from time to time. And then finally, back in August, the Lord spoke to me and he said, he gave me this verse. He said, I'll show you how to tap the power. And he gave me Psalm 119, verse 26. And it says, I will declare my ways. And I kept praying about that. And I said, well, that's very interesting, how to tap the power. I will declare my ways. So I just hung on to that. The psalmist wrote, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. So we went here Wednesday to see Dr. Ed Dufresne down in New Albany, Indiana. And the pastor of the church down there, he spoke on Isaiah 10:27. And he said this, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And he said that there are people out there that are anointed to help you. And I got a hold of that. And I said, Lord, thank you that there are people out there anointed to help me. And when I listened to Dr. Ed Dufresne, he kind of filled in the rest of what I'd been praying for about how to tap into the power. And I said, Lord, thank you that he was anointed to help me understand this to a greater degree of how to tap the power. And I believe there's different anointings in this church that can help people. I believe that what Pastor David preached last Sunday can help you. That was anointed to help you know who you are in Christ. I believe what Mike taught on finances, that was anointed to help you get over certain things, to help you get victory in your finance. So there are people out there that are anointed to help us, and probably wondering, well, what in the world does that have to do with the message today? And I'm not going to give the message, but Ben is actually in just a little bit here. So don't get in a rush and want to leave, because I believe God anointed him with this message to help you. Okay? If you will just listen and give honor to the Holy Ghost, he has been anointed to help you today. And when we were there at the meeting, there was a very interesting experience that we had. I had gotten there, and Kathy and Hannah, my youngest daughter, went along, and we were sitting there. We picked a seat out in the middle of the church there, and they both went to the ladies' room, and I'm waiting there on them, and this guy walks up to me, and he said, are you a pastor? And I said, well, yes, sir, I am. And he said, I got a seat over here for you. And I said, well, I've got my wife and my daughter here. He goes, that's okay. I got exactly three seats over here for you. And so I was messing around with my BlackBerry, not paying too much attention. I said, I'll be over there in a while. Well, a while turned into, it seemed like several minutes. And I looked back, and the guy's still waiting there at those three seats. And so I thought to myself, I better gather all of our stuff up, and I walk over there. And he had the three seats there for us. And I sat down, and then finally Hannah and Kathy came back, what seemed like an eternity. And they got back there, and I was looking for the guy that had seated us. And he was nowhere to be found. I kept looking and looking and couldn't find him. And I thought, well, I wonder where that guy went. He's an usher, and obviously he's not doing his job. He's off running around somewhere. So anyway, we sit by this couple, and unbeknownst to me after the service, Kathy tells me that they give us this book from that was written by the pastor of that church. It was called Angels on Earth. And we are going to actually order that for the church here. And the next morning, as I was in the shower, I was praying and asking the Lord about some of the things the night before. And he said that was an angel there that you had had come across. Because that person, he, well, for one, he disappeared. And I couldn't find him. And there have been times where I've known that I have entertained angels unaware. And it says in Hebrews 13:2, it says that sometimes we entertain angels or strangers unawares. And he put this in our hands, but it was an answer to prayer because Kathy read it this week to me. She read parts of it, and it really filled in what I had been praying for and seeking the Lord for these last 8-9 months on how to tap the power. So with that, there are things that you need to understand. And one of the things that I knew that's been on my heart for a long time is the fear of the Lord and to honor God. And my son, Ben, is going to teach part of this today to us because when you honor the Lord, there are things that happens in your life that you can get your prayers answered. You know, when you have a total lack of reverence for the Lord and a lack, let me say this, a lack of respect for the things of God and for the people of God, I can tell you this, it's going to be a rough road to hoe. It's going to be a rough road to hoe. When you don't give God the respect and the honor that he deserves, God's word, God's people, that things, your prayers just seem like they just fall on deaf ears. And I'll never forget one of the instances that I read from Brother Hagin. He said that this lady attended the church and didn't have a very good attendance, but he said every time he went to her house, she got her prayers answered. She got her family healed and everything. And he asked the Lord why that was. And he said it was, the Lord spoke to him and said it was because she honored God. She would honor the man of God. So with that, Ben's going to come up because he's got an anointing. He's anointed to help us today. He's anointed to help us, and I'm ready to receive, and I believe because I had respect for the things, when I see those things, when I go to those meetings, I have respect, and I honor the things of God, and that's why I believe God answered my prayer on how to tap the power, because I respect the things of God. And Benny, come on up. See, I'm just... It's more than me just being a dad being proud of my son, okay? And for those of you who don't know it, that first song that we sung, he wrote that song. So he wrote that song, and Rob put the music to it, and I'm very thankful for that, and I'm believing for more music that'll come out of him. I'm believing for more things to come out of him. So here you go, Benny. Take your liberty.
Well, like my dad said, I'm going to be teaching a little bit on honor. Obviously, we're not going to cover a lot on it, because it actually, to my surprise, encompasses a lot. I didn't never realized it. And all throughout when I was saved, you know, be like, oh yeah, I know how to honor God. I know how what to do and how I can respect him. And a month ago, the Lord started showing me through teaching in the Bible that I had no idea. I was kind of going, oh. I had to repent for a lot of things, but praise God, it's brought me higher, and my relationship with him has gotten closer and closer. So let's go to Deuteronomy 17, and while you're going there, go ahead and go to Deuteronomy 4 as well. Hold your place in Deuteronomy 4. But Deuteronomy 17, starting verse 18, says, "And it shall be, when he sitteth up upon the throne of the kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of which is before the priest and the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord, that he may learn to fear the Lord God, to keep his words and his laws and these statutes to do them." Okay, let's go to 4. Deuteronomy 4:10. And it says, specifically, the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, and they may learn to fear me all the days, and they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Okay? Those two verses, those actually three verses, make it very plain and simple that even when we get saved, we do not necessarily understand the honor and how to fear and reverence God. And that word fear is actually a respect. It's actually a reverence. It's an honor. It's honoring him. Okay? And so we need to learn this. As Christians, we need to learn how to honor God, and we need to teach it to our children. All right? Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is going to be our foundation scripture for basically this whole thing. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. And it says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thine house and thine house of thine father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. Now here's the part we're going to focus on. It says, for them that honor me, I will honor. And them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Okay? For them that honor me, I will honor. God will honor us when we honor him. Okay? And that word despise, if you look it up and if you read through the Bible and look up that word despise, it doesn't mean necessarily to hate. Okay? It means actually a failure to value. A failure to value. The BBE translates that verse as this. I will give honor to those by whom I am honored, and those who have no respect for me will be of small value in my eyes. Isn't that interesting? There's a law, actually, that is put in place here, and it's actually the law of sowing and reaping. Because when we honor God, he will honor us. In everything we do, we should honor God. In everything that we do honor God in, he will honor us in. Okay? And one of the greatest ways God honors us is with his presence. One of the greatest ways God honors us with his presence, because with his presence, it's yoke removing, bonds broken, love, joy, peace, prosperity, amen, health. That's one of the greatest ways God can honor us, is with his presence. And when we honor him, a greater reverence for him equals a greater manifestation of God in our lives. Greater manifestation of God in our lives. And, you know, when we honor God, he'll be in our lives. Like I said, he'll be in our lives. We'll have a greater manifestation. But if we don't honor God, he's not going to manifest himself in our lives as strongly as we would like. Okay? I know, as our house, we honor God in our house, and his presence is manifested there. But if you go to someone else's house, and let's say they don't honor God, will his presence be there? No. Because they're not honoring him. He's not going to honor them with his presence. It doesn't mean he's not there. Psalm 193, verse 8 says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Doesn't mean that he's not there, but he's not being respected there. So he's not going to manifest himself there. He's not going to manifest himself to the degree that he could or that he has in this other house. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, let's go to Psalms 89. Verse 7. How many know that reading the Bible, if the Holy Spirit's not there showing you when you're reading the Bible, how many know that's a pretty rough way to go? And I hate to burst your bubble, but none of us can get revelation by reading the Bibles in and of ourselves. It comes from God. And as we honor God with our time, if we honor God reading our word, he'll honor us by giving us revelation of that word. In Psalms 89, verse 7, are you all there? It says, God is greatly to be feared or respected in the assembly of saints. Are we all saints?
Yes.
So we are assembled here as saints. He's to be greatly respected here. Okay? And to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. So there you go. God says, are we about God? So we should be have him in reverence, okay? And a lot of times, you know, I did this. When we go to church, you know, be like, you know, I'll just throw something on and let's go to church. But that kind of casual attitude, no, we'll get to that in a second, that kind of casual attitude will cost you the manifestation of God's presence. A casual attitude will cost you the manifestation in God's presence. You don't go to church and dress and act like you're going to the beach. It's not just some flippant thing that you do and just throw on anything. And don't get hung up on the clothes aspect or anything like that, okay? It's a heart condition. It's a heart issue, okay? Let's go to Mark chapter 12, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Mark chapter 12, verse 42. Starting in verse 42, it says, "And there came a certain poor widow, that she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto him," this is Jesus talking, "Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all she had, even all her living." Okay? God valued that, what she gave, over any of the others that gave, because she gave her all. She gave her all. She gave what she had to God. And it was from her heart. The Lord cares more about that. He doesn't care about your material possessions per se, okay? He cares about what's inside. He cares about how you honor him. If you're giving God your all, he will respect that. And he'll highly value that more so than someone coming in here with $1 million slapping on a table. If you go read and read in 1 Kings, I was reading that last week, and talked about chapter 8 and 7, it talked about how King Solomon started to build the temple and everything. And I thought it was interesting, you know, even the foundation stones were a very expensive stone, it said. And everything that he put in it, he had cedar, he had brass, and he put gold in there, and they had a bunch of sacrifices that there was too many to count. And so when that happened, the glory of God came in there. God's glory came in there. And I just thought that was interesting. You know, that's one way you can honor God is through your stuff. It doesn't necessarily matter the stuff, but he gave a lot that he had. He gave treasures. Okay? And one way you can tell how much you can honor God is how much are you spending your time with it? And how much are you putting forth into the kingdom with your pocketbook or with your money and your time? And casual people tend to try and make excuses for dishonor. They'll try and be like, oh, you know, I was trying to listen to the message, but I got distracted. I have a short attention span. That's a casualness, and that's wrong. Okay, there's no way around that. That's just an excuse for dishonoring God. When you honor God, you treat his stuff as something as of high value and as important, like Solomon did and as that lady did. You treat it as high value and high importance. It has a great worth to you. And a lot of times, you know, we'll go to church and if you hear it, and the way you hear it, are you really listening? Are you really expecting God to speak to you? Are you putting a value on what's being said? Because it's not me speaking to you, it's God speaking to you. That's something you have to understand. It's not me speaking to you, it's not Dad speaking to you, it's not Pastor David speaking to you, it's God speaking to you. And so if you don't respect and honor that, he's not going to respect and honor you with revelation, with light, with his manifestation of his presence. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. And it says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live. Okay? And that subjection, that word subjection, is a submission. Okay? That word subjection translates to be a submission. And when you're submitting to something, you're yielding to it or giving place to it. When you're submitting to something or subjecting to something, you're yielding to it or giving place to it. And whoever we respect in our lives, we will give more place to in our lives. Whatever we respect in our lives, we will give more place to in our lives. All right? If I didn't respect my dad, I would not give him place in my life. I'd be like, hey, Dad, you know. But I respect my dad. I honor my dad, and I want to talk to him. I want to spend that time with him. Okay? But with anything else, if you don't respect and honor God, you're not going to be, that's not where your time's going to go. That's not what you're giving place to, and you should be looking at what you are giving place to, because that's what you're respecting, and that's what you're reverencing more. Mark chapter 4, 24. And there's a lot of ways you can respect and honor God, like I said before. This is one of them. Actually, before we do that, another way that we can respect and honor God is through how we talk, right? What we say, how we say it. Are we treating things of God lightly? Are we saying, oh, you know, I could go to church, but, you know, I'd rather sleep in. And if you choose to sleep in, that's dishonoring God. But if you're here today, you choose to come, that's honoring God. And he's going to honor you for coming, right? So when we speak, if I said, Josh, you're dumb, that's not honoring to God, okay? Life and death are in the power of tongues. And a lot of times, we don't understand the worth of our words, okay? The Lord's been dealing with me a lot on this, about the worth of my words and how much you value what you're actually saying. Or are you just talking? A lot of people just talk and talk and talk, and really nothing's happening. They're just saying something for the sake of saying something. All right, and I'm not saying it's wrong to be a talkative person, but if you're not watching what you say, Satan can easily come in and slip something. And if you're not thinking about what you're saying, you can just directly fire it off. Because Satan's always looking for someone to talk through, because he can't talk. He's looking for someone to talk through. And so if you're just talking, 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 not thinking about what you're saying, you're going to be like, yeah, yeah, and this person's dumb. Well, that's not speaking life into that person. That's dishonoring that person. Not only that person, but that's dishonoring God. You're not thinking about, you're not treating your words with the value that they should be treated with. You're not weighing your words. That's one way we can honor or even dishonor God. But what we say, if someone cuts you off in traffic, oh, you idiot, why'd you do that? You're so dumb. You know, that's not right. I know a lot of us do it. I sometimes do it, but like, no, you know? But that's not right, and that's dishonoring because you're not valuing your words and the worth of your words. So we all Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Yes, no, maybe so, but we're still going to read it. Like Pastor David says, if you haven't found it by now, you're probably not going to find it now. It says, "And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given." How do you measure what you hear? You measure it by the value you put on it. You know, if Kenneth Copeland came here and spoke, I'm sure we'd all be very attentive, right? Because we value what he has to say, all right? And that should be that way. If God was standing right here, it should be that way with anyone that's up here speaking. And how you hear it, what you're listening to. If you're not listening, if you're not just going, oh, that's just, you know, Ben, you know, I know him or whatever, that's just Ben, he's a pastor's kid, you know, what he has to say is nice and everything. But if you're not taking that at the value it should be taken at, that God's speaking through me, then you're not honoring that. And he won't, what measure you meet, it shall be met back unto you. So it'd be safe to say that if you're sitting here and you're thinking about where you're going to go to eat, or I need the signs, or what, you know, what you're going to do after church, it's safe to say you're not really valuing what's being said. You're fidgeting with your phone, playing with your pen, you know, sitting there and taking it apart and putting it back together. You know, I've seen it before. That's not valuing what is being said. It's not valuing what you're hearing. Matt, you won't get revelation. You could be praying to God, Lord, give me revelation on this issue. Lord, give me the answer to this issue. And you come to church and you're just sitting there. And God could have spoken that answer and you would not have even known. Because you're not hearing. You're not valuing what's being said. I'm going to go into a little bit more of how we can honor God and how we can even dishonor God. It's how we treat people. How we treat people. Number 16, it talks about, excuse me if I get their names wrong. It talks about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Okay? And it's talking about Moses. This is for the Israelites. And these three kind of gathered up people to basically rebel against Moses. Okay? And they were just like, you know, rebelling against them, they're just being really, basically really dumb. They weren't being smart about it. And they let a lot of pride come in. And so when Moses tried, in verse 12, Moses tried, you know, calling them, saying, it says, and Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, and they said, we will not come. Okay, so Moses knew what was coming, because pride cometh before destruction. Okay, and so these guys are fooling around, dishonoring Moses, okay? And being prideful, and in verse, if you go to verse 30, it says that they were, that the earth opened up and they were swallowed in, okay? So, why did they get such a severe punishment? It's because they weren't honoring Moses. And not only were they not honoring Moses, but in dishonoring Moses, they dishonored God. Because they dishonored the place that Moses was in. Okay? If you read in Exodus, this happened before in Exodus where the people started murmuring against, it says in Exodus 16:2, it says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Okay? If you read on in verse 7, it says, and in the morning, then ye shall come up. Then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are ye murmuring against us? Okay? So the Lord took it personally. He didn't say you're murmuring against Moses and Aaron. He said you're murmuring against me. You're murmuring against God. They weren't honoring that position that Moses was in. They weren't honoring the man. They weren't honoring the position. They were not honoring God because God chose him for that position. And if you sit there and you're going, well, I would say this if I'm preaching. That was one of the examples Dad gave. I would say this if I'm preaching. You're not. Okay? Just saying, you're not. Okay? So it really, it's good if you're getting revelation from it, okay? But you're not preaching, okay? And you're actually dishonoring that position that God gave my dad or Pastor David. You're dishonoring that position if you're thinking that because he gave them that position, not you. Okay? And not only are you dishonoring that, you're not then you start not to value what they say because, oh, I could say it better. You're not valuing what they say. You're not valuing what you hear. You're not valuing the person. You're not valuing the position. You're not valuing God. In Mark chapter 6, this is a prime example of people dishonoring God. Starting in verse 1, and he went out from thence and came into his home country, and his disciples followed him. So it's talking about Jesus, and he's coming back to his home country where he grew up. Okay? I'm sure you're all familiar with this story. Verse 2, it says, "And then the Sabbath day was come, and he began to teach in the synagogue." Okay, so he starts teaching in the synagogue, and I'm pretty sure it was probably really good. So he starts teaching in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. If you stop right there and don't read on, you probably think they were awestruck or wowed. But that's not the case in this particular instance. Saying, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that he even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" What were they doing? They were going, "This guy, we know this guy. Why is he get to teach in the synagogues? Why is the mighty works coming from him?" And it goes on, they keep, getting ate up about it. And they said, Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are his sisters not here with us?" And they were offended. So what they started to do there and what they did there was, when Jesus spoke, they weren't reverencing what he said, and they actually devalued Jesus. They're going, "This guy, we grew up with this guy. We know this guy. We know his parents. We know his brothers, and we know his sisters. His sisters are even here with us." Okay? It's interesting what Jesus said. He said, "But Jesus said unto him, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and among his own house." Okay? So they weren't honoring God. They weren't honoring Jesus. They didn't value, put worth onto what he was saying. Because I'm sure what he was saying applied to them. But they weren't valuing that. They probably got nothing out of that, because they're sitting there going, "What are you doing? We know you." And so they didn't value that, and they devalued Jesus. They didn't esteem him enough as he should have been valued. Okay? So it says in verse 5, "And there he could do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them." What'd they do? They dishonored God. Could God honor them? No. Said he could do no mighty work. So, we come to church and we want God to be here. We want his presence here. We want to make sure we honor him. And that's one way we can tap into his power, is honoring God, giving reverence to him. It's not just something you come to church, you hear a good message, you go home and forget about it. That's not valuing that. It's not. But it's something more. It's going, "Lord, you know what? What you said this Sunday, what you're speaking through me all this week, as I get into your word, as I spend time with you, it's important to me. It's something that I highly value. It's something that I want in my life." If you don't want Jesus in your life, you're not going to value what he does. Okay? If you don't want the manifestation of God's presence in your life, don't value him. You'll get it. You won't get it, I should say. So God will honor us when we honor him. God will honor us when we honor him. One of the greatest ways we can honor God, and I won't get into this today because it'll take a while, but one of the greatest ways we can honor God is through our worship. The Lord was showing me some things about worship, and I was really excited, and I've been worshiping God this past couple weeks. Whenever I got the chance, in the car when I was passing out flyers, 8 hours, I'd stick a worship CD in, or I'd stick a teaching tape in, and I'd just praise God. And that's one of the best times I've had, just praising God. Because his presence was there with me. I'm like, I like doing flyers now, because I used to not like it, because you'd sit out there for 8 hours in that car, and you'd just stick out your hand and to each mailbox tube. And you'd sit there for 8 hours. Oh my gosh. But after I started doing that, I seriously love it now, because I can spend that much more time with God. And when I did that, God honored me. And when you do that, God will honor you. But It's not just something that you can just go, oh, yeah, you know, I know how to honor God, you know. Let's go to church. Let's throw on our shorts with rips in them and our flip-flops and all that. No, it's about, Lord, I want to present myself in the best way to you. And it's going to be different for everyone. You have to ask God, Lord, what's the best way I can honor you? In every area of our life, Lord, what's the best way? Show me how I can honor you through my words, through how I hear, through my time, through to even down to what I wear. Because, Lord, I want to show you the respect and honor that you deserve. Because you sent your son to die for me. So that's what the Lord had shown me. There was obviously a lot more that the Lord's shown me, but due to time's sake, we won't go into that. But when you go and you go out today, think about, pray about, Lord, how can I honor you? How can I honor you today? How can I honor you in every aspect of my life, in business, in personal, what I say, how I hear it? Show me how to honor people. How to honor people more. Because it doesn't matter who gets up here. If God's called them, that's someone you should be respect. And that's the place you should respect and you should honor.
How many have to repent after that? Yeah, I really feel the conviction there. But, you know, it reminded me some things of, in my own life, you know, it's easy to get critical. Very easy to get critical. And, you know, I can see where small changes can produce great results. Amen? And that's all that the Lord is asking us to do, is to make some changes. And if what Ben said this morning, if that convicted you or something, that's not something that you should ignore. Or just think, well, you know, they all do it over there, or he does it. It's something that each individual person needs to go to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, I'm sorry and I repent. I will change that quickly. Amen. So I'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for your word today, and we thank you for, Father, your word, that how it changes us and teaches us, Father. Lord, this week, it's my prayer that you teach us how to honor you, how to honor the things of God, and how to honor your people, Father. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We praise you, Father. We thank you for this time together too, Lord. Lord, I ask that you bless your people and be with your people this week and continue to speak to them, Father. Lord, we thank you and ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen.